All right, ready to dive in. Today we're tackling Bible translation, and we've got a real expert with us, Dr. George Payton. You know, most people, when they think of translating the Bible, they just think, oh, you just swap words between languages. But I have a feeling it's a lot more complicated than that.
It is a lot more. I mean, yeah. Talking history, linguistics, culture, even spirituality. And with globalization, the need for translation is, well, everywhere. It's more prevalent than ever.
Payton actually compares getting into the field to falling down a rabbit hole. He was in college, no clue what he wanted to do. And then he met his wife, and guess what?
They both wanted to be Bible translators.
Exactly. What are the chances?
Yeah, okay. Such a great story. And it makes you realize that, you know, translating even these ancient texts, it's incredibly relevant today. I mean, think about how much we encounter translation every day. The instructions for, like, your coffee maker, the label on that, you know, imported chocolate bar.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I never thought of it that way. Payton actually makes a distinction between written translation and interpreting, right? He's done both. And he has this hilarious story about working as a court interpreter, dealing with a witness. The witness was speaking Swahili, and there was this one word that could mean either he or she.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. Didn't he accidentally interpret it as he?
He did, and the defense attorney, oh, man, she jumped all over it, accused the witness of, like, changing their story.
Oh, wow, yeah. High stakes. It really makes you appreciate that with written translation, you've got time to think things through, look for those nuances. But interpreting, it's live, right there in the moment. No room for error.
Yeah, totally. It's kind of like composing a well-thought-out email versus, you know, trying to keep up with a rapid-fire text conversation. You've got way more chances to refine your message in written form.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
And the thing is, even with written translations, like the Bible, I mean, our understanding can change, can it? As new discoveries are made, or even just as language itself shifts over time, it's a constant process of refinement.
It really is. And Payton makes this point that translation isn't just a product. It's a process. It's even a subject of study in itself.
Yeah, there's so much more to it than meets the eye. And speaking of complexity, Payton's background is in linguistics. That seems like a very analytical field. But he makes a strong argument that good translation, it also requires creativity.
It absolutely does. He uses this simple but effective example. The phrase White House, you know, in Spanish, it's Casa Blanca, which is literally house white.
Oh, right.
The word order is completely flipped. And that's just one, like, tiny example of how languages can be structured so differently. A good translator, they have to understand those nuances, but also be creative to get the meaning across accurately.
It's like solving a puzzle where you need both logic and that creative spark to find the solution. But with Bible translation, what makes it unique, even beyond just these linguistic challenges?
Payton emphasizes that for him, it's a ministry. Mm-hmm. When he and his wife went to Kenya, they weren't just focused on, like, the technical side. They were serving a community.
He talks about creating alphabets and grammars for languages that had no written form before. Wow, that's huge.
Right. That's a service to the entire culture, not even just, you know, the Christian community. It allows them to communicate in writing, to preserve their history.
Right. To tell their stories. It's powerful. And it reminds me of this anecdote. Payton working in the Kenyan desert, this remote, unreached people group. Even his colleagues were like, why? Why are you so dedicated to this?
It's a good question. And think about this. Centuries ago, early biblical translators, they faced those same kinds of challenges, right?
Yeah.
Traveling to these far-flung places, often without a lot of support, but just driven by this passion to share their faith. I mean, Payton's experience really echoes those efforts. Just shows how strong that sense of dedication can be.
It really makes you wonder, what is it that fuels that level of dedication? What keeps people going?
Payton ties it to this concept he calls Missio Dei, God's grand mission for the world.
Okay, gotta be honest. Missio Dei sounds a little intimidating. What exactly does it mean? And how does it connect to, you know, the work of Bible translation?
Well, Payton describes it as God's, you know, ultimate plan for humanity and our relationship with him. And it's a big concept, can feel overwhelming, but he argues that each of us, we can find our own way to connect with it, to take part in this larger purpose.
So for Payton, how did Bible translation fit into that?
For him, it was bringing the scriptures to this specific group of people in Kenya. It was his way of participating in Missio Dei.
I see, his own personal mission, but within this much bigger picture. But even if you're not religious, I mean, that idea, finding your unique way to be part of something bigger, that's powerful, right?
Absolutely. And that's what makes this deep dive so fascinating. Mm-hmm. It's about Bible translation, yeah. But it's also about these universal themes of purpose, meaning, mm-hmm. you know, that desire to make a difference.
It really does get you thinking. So we've got this concept of Missio Dei, this overarching purpose.
Yeah.
But how do we actually put it into action? How do we, as individuals, find our own role in all of this?
That's the question, isn't it? And that's where Peyton draws this fascinating parallel to a passage in Ephesians. It says that God has given each of us gifts, unique gifts to use in his work.
So it's like we each have our own personal Missio Dei.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to think about it. And what's interesting is, you know, even if you're not religious, that idea, mm-hmm. it still resonates, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, they search for their calling, their own way to make a difference in the world.
Yeah, that's definitely a common thread. But how do we actually discover that purpose? How do we know what we're, you know, made for?
Well, Peyton, he believes that a lot of times those gifts, they're revealed through our experiences, even the tough ones. Remember his story about living in the desert, working with that remote community?
Right.
He could have chosen an easier path, for sure. But that experience, it shaped him, refined his skills. Ultimately, I think it led him exactly where he needed to be.
So it's like those experiences, those obstacles, they're actually, what, preparing us for something bigger?
I think so. It makes me think of that quote, you know, the obstacle is the path.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes those obstacles, they force us to tap into strengths we didn't even know we had. Like Peyton had to be so resourceful out there, so adaptable and persistent. And those qualities, they're not just useful for Bible translation. I mean, those are valuable life skills.
Absolutely. They apply to anything.
You know, for me, I've always been fascinated by languages. And when Peyton talks about his linguistics training, it's really interesting. He talks about phonetics. Like learning to hear and transcribe sounds, to break a language down into its basic elements.
Hmm.
It sounds like detective work.
It really is. And remember, he was working with unwritten languages,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So he had to basically invent the alphabet, the grammar rules from scratch. Talk about analytical skills.
Hmm.
You have to see the patterns, create order out of what seems like, you know, chaos to everyone else.
That's incredible, the patience that must take. It's like you're a linguistic architect. You're building this framework for an entire language.
You are. But Peyton's quick to point out that translation, it's not just a science, you know. It's an art. You can't just, like, plug words into a formula. You have to understand the culture behind it, the emotional impact, the nuances that would be lost in a strictly literal translation.
Yeah, because sometimes if you translate too literally, it loses something. Or even worse, it can end up meaning something totally different.
Exactly. He uses that same example again, White House. In Spanish, it's Casablanca, which literally means house white.
Right. Right. The word order is reversed.
It is. And that's just one tiny example of the challenges translators face.
Yeah.
It's not enough to know what a word means, you know, in the dictionary. You got to know how it functions in a sentence, how it conveys meaning within that specific culture.
It's like being a bridge builder between languages and cultures.
Yeah.
You're finding ways to connect people through shared meaning.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And I think it gets to the heart of what Peyton sees as, like, the mission of Bible translation, making something profound and meaningful, accessible to people, regardless of what language they speak, what culture they come from.
You're opening up this whole world to someone, sharing your own heritage, your own culture, through the power of language.
And in doing so, you're learning about their culture too, their worldview. So it's really this two-way street, this exchange where everyone learns and grows.
It's like that saying, you know, walk a mile in someone else's shoes to truly understand them. But in this case, it's more like reading a verse in their language.
I love that. And it highlights the value of, you know, just engaging with different perspectives, even perspectives that maybe challenge our own assumptions, whether it's like reading translated literature or international news or just having a conversation with someone from a different background. It helps us grow both as individuals and as a society.
It's like adding different spices to a dish. That little bit of variety, it just makes the whole thing richer, more interesting.
I like that. And just as a good chef balances those flavors, a good translator thinks about those cultural gaps, how to make a text accessible, meaningful to a new audience.
It's definitely a balancing act. And when you're talking about a text as complex as the Bible, the stakes are pretty high.
Yeah, absolutely. And Peyton actually brings up a concern that people have about Bible translation, and that's bias. You know, he is coming from a specific religious perspective.
Right, right. How do you ensure objectivity when you're translating something so closely tied to your own beliefs?
Well, he emphasizes that it's all about collaboration.
Yeah.
He doesn't work alone. He partners with native speakers of the target language, with other linguists, with theologians.
Mm-hmm.
to ensure the translation is both accurate and culturally sensitive. It's a team effort with checks and balances in place to, you know, minimize that risk of bias.
So kind of like a peer review process, making sure that the final product is as faithful and authentic as possible.
That's right. And it brings us back to that idea of ministry, you know, that we talked about earlier. For Peyton, Bible translation, it's not just a technical job. It's about serving others. It's about making a text that he finds deeply important, accessible to people who might not otherwise have the chance to experience it.
Like sharing a precious gift, something that has the potential to change lives.
And whether or not you share his religious beliefs, I mean, you have to admire that dedication, that passion. It speaks to something, you know, very human, that desire to find meaning, to find purpose, to be part of something bigger than yourself.
I agree. So we've covered a lot here, from, you know, the technical aspects of translation to the spiritual side of Peyton's work. But for someone listening who maybe isn't a translator or even religious, what would you say is the main takeaway? What's that nugget of wisdom they can glean from this deep dive into Bible translation?
That's a great question. And, you know, I think the answer lies in something that Peyton said near the end of our interview with him. He mentioned this idea of God preparing people for their work in advance.
It sounds like he's talking about destiny, you know, it's all preordained. But even if you're not like a spiritual person, there's something kind of compelling about that idea that maybe our experiences, even the hard ones, are shaping us for something we're meant to do.
I think so. Yeah. Peyton believes that those experiences, even the ones that feel like setbacks or, you know, detours, they're actually opportunities to grow, to develop resilience, those skills that we'll need later on.
So we're being prepared, even when we don't realize it, for that unique thing, that thing we're meant to contribute to the world.
Exactly. And that preparation, it might not always be obvious, right? It could be a tough job, volunteer experience, even a difficult relationship. Those things, they can teach us valuable lessons. They push us outside our comfort zones. And sometimes we discover talents, strengths that we never knew we had.
You know, it's funny. We started out talking about Bible translation, but this is really making me think about my own life, my own purpose. Like, what experiences have I had that maybe, you know, maybe they're shaping me for something I haven't even figured out yet?
That's what I love about this deep dive. You know, on the surface, it's about Bible translation, but it really gets at something deeper. That human desire to find meaning, to find purpose, to figure out where we fit in.
I think that's why Peyton's story is so relatable. No matter what your background is, what you believe, we all want to feel like our lives have meaning, like we're making a difference.
We do. And what Peyton's journey shows us is that finding that purpose, it's not always a straight line. There are going to be detours, challenges, doubts. But if we can embrace those experiences, see them as opportunities for growth, they can lead us exactly where we need to be.
It's like they say, right? The journey is the destination. It's not just about getting to some end goal. It's about what we learn, how we grow along the way.
And that's such an empowering message, I think, for anyone who's listening. You know, your purpose, it might not be clear right now, and that's okay. Embrace the journey, the challenges, even the unexpected turns, because they might be leading you to something amazing.
So for someone who's still searching for that something amazing, what advice would you give based on Peyton's experience and this whole idea of, you know, preparing for our purpose?
Yeah. Peyton talks a lot about passion, about how it fueled him, kept him going, even when things were really tough. So I would say, you know, pay attention to what excites you, what makes you curious, what you're naturally drawn to.
Those things that light you up, that make you feel alive.
Exactly. Those passions, they're often clues, hints about what your purpose might be, what unique contribution you're meant to make. And don't be afraid to experiment, to try new things. You never know where they might lead.
It's like we're all on this treasure hunt, and the treasure is our own purpose. And those clues, they're all around us, in our experiences, our passions, even in the people we meet.
I love that. And the more clues we gather, the closer we get to finding that treasure.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of Bible translation, what's the one thing you hope our listeners will walk away with?
I hope they'll feel inspired, not just by Peyton's story, but by the possibility that, you know, we all have something unique to offer. Maybe we're not all called to translate ancient texts, but we all have something to give to the world, something only we can bring. And the journey of finding that, that can be just as rewarding as the destination itself.
That's a beautiful thought. And who knows, maybe this deep dive sparked a new interest in languages and translation, even in exploring your own spirituality. Whatever it is, we hope it's left you with a sense of, you know, wonder and possibility.
And maybe, just maybe, a renewed sense of purpose.
That's what we aim for here at the Deep Dive, to open up these new worlds of knowledge and inspire you to keep exploring. So thanks for joining us on this journey.
Until next time, keep diving deep.